don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call
me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is January 23rd, 2013. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have a special guest, Miss Remedy Murray. She's a spoken word artist and poet, a writer, a stage performer. She was born and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio. She's the mother of two children, and she wanted to set a good example by showing them that when you have something in life that you're really passionate about, to go for it. This example led Remedy to releasing her first spoken word CD entitled A Dose of Remedy. After receiving rave reviews and winning two OHHA awards, Remedy traveled and performed in various cities. It was on the road where Remedy met many young ladies who told her about their struggles with relationships and thanked her for her uplifting and encouraging words. It was hearing the sadness and confusion from these young women that fueled the fire to create the book, How to Recognize the Signs of a Bad Relationship. So Remedy is doing many things with music, books, movies, and we're going to get to hear her complete story tonight. But before we get to Remedy, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
I guess. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in every Wednesday night. And we'd just like to say we love the support and we love everybody who spreads the message. And without further ado, we're going to pass the mic over to Miss Remedy, and she's going to formally introduce herself, and we're going to get started. Are you there, Remedy?
Yes, I'm here. Hi. Hi. How y'all doing tonight?
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor, and I really appreciate you all taking the time to talk with me and kind of help me showcase this ebook. And I just wanted to say thanks for just even, you know, getting me on here and just taking the time. And I love the Streets Don't Love You Back movement. I mean, I've been following it for years, you know, a couple years, and I see it's still going strong, and it still has a very strong buzz and the message is being received widely. So I just want to commend you two for still pushing that, you know, still being so adamant about getting the message out there to our young men and our young women. So I just want to say thank you all again for that.
Hey, we appreciate it.
You're
and
welcome.
We just do what God, you know, direct us to do. And once again, thank you for even recognizing what me and my wife do to give back, you know.
Yeah, it's
you know, we wanted to let the listeners know that you were on our Keep It Real show a few years ago. Boyd,
yes.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I had the pleasure of meeting Miss Remedy for the very first time. It was in 2009 and towards the end. And she was a guest on the Keep It Real show. And at that time, the Keep It Real show had been on the air about 12 years, you know, because next month it'll be on there 15 years. So,
yeah,
I'm one of the longest running shows in Cincinnati, Ohio on cable. Started in 1998 of March, and I've been going 15 years strong, straight, not off and on, but all straight ahead. And we appreciate Remedy for being on one of the hottest shows in the Natty.
Yeah, it was an honor. I mean, Tay Love, he's just a great host. And during that time, I think I was just kind of really gaining a lot of exposure as a spoken word artist here in Cincinnati. And it was just a great experience for me to even, you know, be asked to come on there and just kind of giving me a place to do my poetry, you know, do my work. And at the time, it was like, it was a predominantly music atmosphere. And so to just be welcomed like I was to do spoken word was just great. It was just a great feeling for me. It was one of my best moments, I can honestly say, that the Keep It Real show. It kind of helped progress me a little bit, too, since it is one of the longest shows running here in Cincinnati. So it was just a great experience for me.
Yeah, we appreciate that. And, you know, I want to give big thanks out to Tay, because Tay Love started hosting the Keep It Real show around May of 2009, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he has did an extraordinary job in these 4 years. So I just want to give him a big shout out on the show. And he took the Keep It Real show to another level, you know what I mean? And I told him when I met him that I knew he could do it, you know, and he was like, you remember, he was like, I said, you got it, guy, you know? and he held it down, you know, and I wanted to say it on Nationwide
Radio.
Done
a great job.
Yeah, I never had to sit at the table with him and say, you doing this, you doing that. From day one, he took it and ran with it, and he's been on top of that firmly. So we want to give him big love and a shout out.
I agree. And, I definitely agree.
Yeah. And now we want to get right down to Miss Remedy. And ask you, Miss Remedy, can you tell the viewers what made you get into the spoken word? And how did you grow up, and where did you grow up at?
Well, I started writing when I was a teenager, and I grew up in Walnut Hills in Cincinnati, Ohio. And, you know, I was just like any other regular teenager, a wild child, you know, trying to be grown before my time and just experiencing a lot of different things. And writing was just my outlet. Like, once I discovered that, you know, it was a place I can really be me and be honest with some of the things that I was going through and some of the things that I've seen around me, I grew to love it. I mean, I really grew to love it. But I didn't never really expect to gain the exposure off of it that I did. You know, it was just something that just happened. Like I said, for years I had been writing, and you know, I used to always have all these excuses as to why I could never do like a poetry book or, you know, go out in public and speak. I just had so many excuses. And then one day my son and I were almost in a head-on collision and on Montana Avenue. And, you know, you just have that moment where you just realize that life is just short, you know, that it's okay to have excuses, but at some point you have to overcome those excuses and just leave the fear behind and just kind of go for it. So when I did my first spoken word CD, A Dose of Remedy, it wasn't originally for the public. It was just for my son and my daughter, something that they could have, you know, that they could share with their kids and, you know, family members when I'm long gone, saying, hey, you know, this is what mom was about. This is what grandma was about. And it just kind of went from there to where I was being asked to speak at like various engagements, city hall, black family reunion, private parties. I've done everything from weddings to funerals. It just kind of took off, and I'm really grateful for it. I mean, extremely grateful for it. And I think the biggest lesson for me out of the entire experience was the fact that my children felt proud of me. You know, it was like, you know, you get that feeling as a mom where, you know, you're always yelling at your kids and you always got some lesson for them every day, but, you know, they don't have that, oh, mom, okay, kind of attitude. You know, it was like they were really proud to see me perform. They were proud to see how well I was received in public. And to me, that was just the feeling, just such a blessing. It was just such a blessing.
Amen.
And, you know, that's when my kids were like, you know, Mom, you should share this. You should, you know, you should get out there more. You should do this and you should do that. And I'm like, well, I don't know. And then I had a good friend and poet peer here in Cincinnati. His name is Element. and he used to, you know, have these open mics. And one day I went, and I got up there, and I was so scared and so nervous. I mean, it was just so overwhelming. It took me a minute before I said anything on a microphone, but it was like once I got going.
It was on top.
Yeah, it was history from there.
Exactly. We loving that, Jen. You know what I mean? So that means once you get in front of the mic, it's on and rocking. So they can't stop you once the spoken word gets to going then.
Yeah, it was like that for a while. Like I was really, you know, kind of finding a way to distinguish myself as an artist, you know. And I didn't take it seriously like some were at the time. Like, you know, we have another one here, one of my good friends, Explicit Fire. She was the first person to kind of, you know, show me that this can be a real thing. Like, people do this. Like, this is not just a hobby. Like, people take this seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, I start studying her, and I'm looking at Element, you know, the people that's been doing it a long time before me, like Obalaye and Kofi, you know, all these great poets here in Cincinnati that was doing it before me. I start, you know, taking them as inspiration, not just listening to what they were saying for entertainment, but I start feeling like, well, you know, I got some stories to share, too, and I think some people could really learn from what I'm saying.
Right.
I think I'm going to start taking this a little bit more seriously and be more articulate in how I speak and be more choosy about what I talk about. And I just start kind of developing myself into what type of artist I wanted to be. And I can actually say it's grown me as a woman and an artist and a parent, you know, just trying to keep up with some of the things that's going on. And just, again, being a good example for my kids, you know, just letting them know that, and even the people that's listening, you know, like us mothers, sometimes we get caught up with life. We're raising our kids. We have to work, and we're tending to our husbands and our household. And sometimes we forget about those little itty-bitty things that we think are little itty-bitty things that we really wanted to do. And no matter how life progresses and goes on, if you still have that, even a little ounce of urge to do it, do it. Just go back and say, you know what? I'm going to do it. This is what I want to do. I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to do something for me. And I think that's where the writing came in, because, like, I worked with a couple of different artists, and I learned so much from them. Like when Mr. Boyd had the Keeping It Real show, when we were invited, I went with a good friend of mine. She was a Cincinnati rapper. Her name was Khadijah. And I learned so much from her as an artist and as a friend, you know, how to present yourself professionally. And, you know, I used everything that they were teaching them on the music side. I was just applying it on the poetry side. And it was a great experience. You know, I learned so much, but that writing was just, it was just nagging at me, like, you know, not just the spoken word, but to share more. And I think that's why when I finally sat down and decided to finish up some of the writing projects that I had started over the years, I think that's how to recognize the signs of a bad relationship came about. It was just something that just needed to come out.
That's right.
Amen. And it's a good thing that it comes out, because people start to realize when you speak, you just never know who life you're touching or who needed to hear that at
that's
that
true.
Moment. So that's a great thing.
That's really true. Now,
your poetry must have touched a lot of young women, and maybe you can tell us in a minute what your poetry was about that touched these young women and that made them share with you about the relationships, and that eventually led to your book. What were you talking about in your poetry that really hit them?
At the time when I was first out, I was married, and, you know, I talk about everything, you know, just from how, you know, we as women, we wear a lot of hats. We're mom, you know, we're the maintenance man, we're the chef. We, you know, we just have,
that's right.
We just have so many hats that we wear. And so some of my work was just kind of helping them balance that out. And then some of them was about, you know, just uplifting our men. our men are beat up enough. You know, they go to work, they have to deal with the boss on them, you know, long days. And it was just about strengthening family, a lot of it. And I think that's what kind of touched it. And then the things that I write about, they were not all my experiences. They were things that I either seen around me or people around me were going through, or just some tough situations that I might have sat down and kind of thought about, like, you know what, I could see someone learning something from this. So I had, like, different pieces that kind of appeal to a little bit of everybody. But I think the ones that were most appealing were the ones where, you know, it was just about kind of leaving bad situations. Not so much as just, you know, oh, this is a bad person and he's not good for you type of poetry. Nothing never sour. It was encouraging. It was in kind of recognizing what you're going through and accepting it, not for what you want it to be, but for what it actually is. And I think that is, you know, those types of honest pieces where I wasn't afraid to speak about things that I was going through or things that I felt somebody else could learn from. And I think those honest pieces, you know, that was just said plain, you know, I didn't say it, you know, so it go over their head. I didn't want to use a lot of big words and all of that. I just wanted to talk. And a lot of times I wanted the person to feel like I was talking directly to them if it fit them. And I think that's what kind of drew a lot of attention on that end. It was a lot of teen. Like, I performed in a lot of places where they were young ladies. Like, I did a lot of talent shows in Cincinnati and a lot of little rapper showcases and stuff like that. Like, I didn't have any limits or boundaries as to what I would talk about and where I was willing to talk about them at. You know, most people are comfortable staying within a poetry circle. And I wanted to kind of step outside of that circle and be heard in other places who may need me as well. And I think that's where I got a lot of the teenage young girls kind of saying they could feel that. You know, they could relate to what I was saying. And,
amen.
You know, I've had people where I pass out, you know, sample CDs with my number on it, you know, and people have called me that I've never met before and just talked. Like, they just wanted someone to listen. Even to this day, I've had the same phone number for over 10 years now, and people are telling me, I got your number off your sample CD, you know, the one where you're wearing the micros. And I'm thinking, like, that CD's been long gone for 7 years now, and they're still, you know, they still. But what I love most about it is the fact that they felt comfortable enough to call, that they felt like they could talk to me and not have to worry about any judgment, not have to worry about, you know, someone saying, oh, you know, let that go. You don't need that. You don't need him. You know, it wasn't about that. I think it was just simply about having someone who may have been through what you've gone through just actually listen. And I love it. I love it.
Amen for that.
And everybody out there, you know, I mean, there's so many people, obviously, in relationships and, you know, they need to be able to learn how to communicate and get along in these relationships. And a lot of these young men and women just don't have that teaching or that guidance where a relationship could be made great if they only knew the little small tools that they need to do it.
When I decided this was going to be the one to come out first, a coworker of mine, a great friend, her daughter tried to commit suicide at the age of 15 because her and her boyfriend broke up.
Wow.
And I have a daughter, and I was devastated. And I got to thinking about it, like, you know, I didn't just want this to be another just, you know, type of relationship book. I wanted it to focus on that age group specifically, our young women. Our young women of today is our leaders of tomorrow. And if they can't cope in today's relationship, then we up a creek tomorrow. So I really sat down and I really thought about it. Like, you know, I wrote notes out and everything. Like, I really thought about, what do these young ladies want to hear? You know, sometimes they don't feel like they can go to mom and talk to mom about these things. You know, maybe mom is working, maybe mom's in school, or she's just busy, or maybe mom's dealing with a bad relationship herself, you know, mm-hmm. and they just feel like they don't have any way that they can turn. And then sometimes, you know, when we teenagers, you know, you 14, 15, 16, and you start, you know, noticing young men and you start calling yourself getting into a relationship, you don't really know what's good and what's bad, you know. So I sat down and I tried to come up with so many different topics that are relevant to today. Like, you know, I talk about, you know, not just self-esteem and communication and what love feels like, but I talk about abusive behavior, suicide, playing games, the power of sex, how it's used, you know, between mm-hmm. both men and women, about lying, you know, acceptance. And at first I wasn't sure I wanted to talk about, you know, young teenagers with kids and stuff, but it's a reality. So I couldn't not put that in there, and I wanted them to kind of see, you know, and I give real life relationship examples. Like the women who have read this book have really liked the fact that I gave real life relationship examples so they can kind of see, you know, and then maybe think about, like, you know what, that ain't right, you know, even on their part. Because, again, it's not about male or female, although it is geared mostly for the ladies. It's not saying, it's not downing the men at all or anything. It's just simply telling her to recognize herself and the role that she plays and the decisions that she makes in every situation.
Okay.
And I think that's what, so far I've got some great feedback. You know, I've had a lot of people really, really like this particular piece. You know, it's not talking at them, it's talking to them, and it's realistic. You know, the power of sex, yep. I mean, I cover everything in that little mm-hmm. section, you know, and game yep. playing. You know, some of us young ladies have learned to game play, where, you know, that use what you got to get what you want attitude
mm-hmm.
kind of ruins relationships too. So I kind of wanted to make sure that I touched everything.
And on the other end of that, a lot of young girls trade sex for love, and that's,
yes,
you know, and then a lot of the guys are, you know, playing the same game and trying to get as many girls as they can too. So it's,
yes,
I
definitely
a lot
talk
to
about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you've given yourself away, we can all agree you cannot get it back. You
that's
know,
right.
I try definitely. To talk about, you know, love, you know, saying I love you and you don't mean it, you know, putting yourself in a predicament where you like someone so much that you're just willing to do anything. You know, I kind of, I tried to keep it as up to date as possible and
mm-hmm.
right. touch on the, yeah, and touch on everything, like with examples. I've had some parents, you know, talk to me about that particular section, because sometimes you do use your parents or, you know, whatever main woman or male that's in your life as an example of what you will and what you won't deal with. If you see mom in an abusive relationship, you know, right then and there, you're learning, first off, it's either something you're going to deal with or something you're not going to deal with. And,
right.
you know, sometimes it's the same as just chewing up your meat, spitting out your bones, you know, just making a right decision. And just because you have someone in your life who may be making bad decisions doesn't mean that's the road that you have to take.
Amen.
So I think I did pretty good. I'm pretty proud of the work that I did on this particular
yeah.
piece, because it was well received. And the young ladies have all said they like it. You know, they didn't feel like they were being scorned. I didn't go into anything on a religious or spiritual level, because everyone doesn't
real.
Feel the same way. You know, I didn't go into the maybe you should wait until marriage, because reality is some of them are not waiting till marriage. So let's not skip
yeah,
that
yeah.
subject, because we want them to wait, you know. So,
right.
you know, I tried
you
to go in. And,
on that.
Yeah, you know, I didn't want to skip anything, too. You know, because, you know, we would like for them to, but the reality is, yeah, they're not doing it. So I didn't want to try to speak to them from that type of angle, because not everyone feels the same. And once you start, you know, trying to tell people certain things on that level, they don't take it well. You know, the message can be great, but it's just, you know, how it's packaged. They tend to kind of overlook it. So I didn't want to go that route. I just wanted it to be me and some young lady sitting down, you know, like we're just having a real conversation, and she's saying, you know what, this is what I'm going through. And somewhere along in that ebook, she's going to be able to find something that's going to speak on what she's going through.
Right. Now, tell the people where they can get that great book at.
I'm currently on Amazon for the Kindle. I'm currently on iTunes for the iPad. I'm at Barnes & Noble's. Diesel, Kobo, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Do you have your own website?
I'm actually working. I do have a developer who's actually working on my website now. Basically, when the website is up, it's just going to kind of provide feedback, but I'm just going to have the places where they can actually, if they want, to go and get the ebook. Like, I don't want to pressure anyone into getting it, but I do think it's worth getting. You know, it's worth getting. It was never really about the money, but just having to put in the time and everything for it, for me, it was well worth it. And I do think it is a great read. And I spent a lot of time, you know, making sure that it was available, like on iTunes and for Kindle. And, it's on Sony for the Nook. So I took my time to make sure that it was available at all these places, just in case someone actually did want to kind of sit down and read it. I'm actually looking into getting some printed publications as well.
Yeah, I think you should. I think they would go out very well received as well. And looking through it after you sent it to me, I think it's excellent. And I think that, you know, it's not a hard read. It seems pretty simple and forthcoming, and I think a lot of young women and men would benefit from it, definitely.
Yeah, I thank you for that, because, you know, as a writer, you sometimes, you know, we write and we see things in our head of how we want it, but it's not until you get feedback from the people that you're actually able to tell how well you wrote it out for them to get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate you all taking the
time
to
read it. Well, I like
the fact
that you put in examples as well, you know. So they can read a little bit, and then they can read the example, and they can put it together and say, oh, yeah, that's true. That makes sense. Or, yeah, you know, that's the way it is.
Right.
And one time I got an email from a young lady who was really shocked that I emailed her back. She was like, okay, this is really your email address? I'm like, yeah, you know, and I said, you know, give me some feedback, let me know. Yeah, it's really me. And one of the things that she was most impressed with is she said she had a friend, and they were reading it on her Kindle, and she didn't know at the time that her friend had been thinking, you know, she was going through a bad relationship, but she didn't know that she had been actually thinking about suicide. And I actually highlighted the website and the phone number for her to easily dial and go to. And she wanted to email and thank me for that, you know, just let me know that. And I felt good about it, like, you know, that's great. And she said it was just, like, right on time. She said, I got it. And, you know, as I was reading it, and, you know, I sat it down one day, and she picked it up and just happened to start reading. So it was kind of right place at the right time kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a blessing. And I felt good. I truly felt good behind that.
Yeah, because when you put your work out and somebody looks up on it and read it and it helps someone, you can't help but to feel good, astonished about that, you know, because your words not only encourage somebody, it helps save the life. And that's the most important thing with writers, you know. When you write, you're supposed to write to not only tell your story, your message, but whatever you're writing is supposed to be uplifting to others, encouraging to others, and that's what you got. So that's, you know, we want to congratulate you on putting that together.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I think that's why I took a break from doing spoken word, because A Dose of Remedy was so uplifting and encouraging. And after that, you know, I went through my own relationship issues. I went, you know, through a divorce, and I kind of, at that time, I didn't want my writing to sound so sour, you know, and bitter and angry and upset, you know, whatever feelings I was going through at that moment, I didn't want to reflect that to somebody else, although a lot of people are saying, no, that's when stuff is good, and, you know, that's when it's at its best, and, you know, like I said, I had molded myself in being a certain kind of artist, and the bitter, sour poet just wasn't it. I just didn't
right,
want to be
exactly.
that. I didn't want to be that kind of person. So
right.
when I decided, you know, Love, Life, and Remedy, when I decided to start working on it again, I wanted to be able to say, hey, I was happy, I cried, this is what I went through, and now I am extremely happy again. You know, like I didn't want to just be like, you know, I'm crying, I'm upset, I'm angry. You know, I didn't want every single feeling I was going through to come across to an audience. You know, I just never felt that comfortable sharing those types of pieces with people. I wanted
right.
them to always sound encouraging, uplifting. And then, too, you know, here I am going through a divorce, and it could be a lady in the crowd, you know, she's kind of on the fence about what she should do, and here I go giving her this old mean, sour piece, and she go home angry, you know, because of something she heard me say. I just didn't want to be that kind of example. So
exactly.
I have to say, for a long time, and I have to say, I missed poetry. We have a relationship that's uncanny to me. And for me to stop doing it cold turkey like I did, I have to say, I feel like, you know, like I cheated on poetry. You know, like it's a relationship. And I feel like me stepping back and not really giving an explanation, you know, just kind of just walking out on it.
Right.
You know, I just felt like I couldn't do it. I couldn't listen to it. I couldn't hear about it. You know, I couldn't, you know, watch it on TV. I just felt so, that's how strongly I feel about what I write. That's a connection,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
yeah.
It seemed like when I got divorced, you know, I quit the job. I divorced poetry, too. It was just like, you know, a cycle.
Right.
And now that I'm coming out of that, you know, those stages, and I'm starting to feel good again, I want to share my stories. And I think that's how, you know, the title Love, Life, and Remedy came about. You know, at one point it was about love, and then it was about life, and now it's just remedy. So
right.
I wanted to make sure as I'm writing that I'm writing from those perspectives, not from a, oh, gosh, my marriage of umpteen years is coming to an end, and now I'm just upset. You know, I didn't want to go through that. I didn't want to share myself like that. And I did. I took a long time from the scene. You know, I've been gone a long time. But
wow.
I think I've been gone. It's been a couple years now. And I think, you know, those who remember me and remember from, you know, me putting out the CD and, you know, I won a couple Ohio Hip Hop Awards and it was just gaining all this recognition and exposure, I still receive the respect, and people are still like, when are you coming back? You need to come back. You know, when
mm-hmm.
are you coming back? And I always say, yeah, I'll try to make it, or yeah, I'll be there. But really, my heart just, my mind and my heart was just at a constant war about it.
Right.
So now
sometimes
I'm
you
feeling,
need to take a break to get
yeah,
back on
you do.
Track and get where you want to be.
And now I'm feeling much better about it. You know, when I started to feel better about it, the first thing was how to recognize the signs of a bad relationship. I still had to put poetry on the back burner because I felt this was important. Our young ladies need, you know, a good example. And, you know, we have our young ladies 18, 19, 20, and then you hear all these stories about the kids being mistreated and, you know, moms out partying, kids at home, and, you know, it's not that they may not have anyone in their life, but they just kind of, life is just going on for them. We're kind of letting music and TV raise them. And I just felt like this was just a real important project. So I said, poetry, I love you. Can you just give me just a little bit more time and let me push
Amen.
This out? You know,
right.
so everything
hey, Remedy,
is working out.
I want to play a song right now called Never Give Up. And this man that sings the song is a West Coast rapper, and he actually overcame and lived through a suicide attempt, and now he educates the youth about against suicide. So his rap name is OG Suicide, and the song is Never Give Up. And then when we come back, we'll have you do a little bit of your spoken word for us, if that's okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Hang on.
Look, homies, what's good with y'all?
What's up with y'all, huh? What's good?
Can't make no shots.
I mean, you know, can't give up, though. You got to keep trying, you know. Practice makes perfect. You know, that's for all y'all. You know what I mean? Just, you know, stay focused. Don't give up. You know, never give up. No matter what it is in life, you can't give up on anything. That's real. You know what I mean? So just keep your shot going. All y'all, you know.
Okay.
I look forward to coming to the game one day. NBA, man. I'm trying to see y'all there.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, loved ones. Y'all be good, all right? I just came to check on y'all.
That's all right.
No matter what it is in life that you want, you gotta go out there and get it. Don't let it make you a sleeper but a dream.
Never give up
on your goals, stay focused on you. Focus your view, succeed, cause I'm hoping you do. Keep climbing up the ladder, cause the key to success. Go hard and go home, never settle for less. Life is stress, but we gotta deal with it, homie. Send a prayer to the man to put a shield on it. Work hard for what you get, appreciate what you got. You can always improve, just don't stop. Go ahead with your dream to achieve in your life. Take a chance like
Love You Back radio show with the hottest song out right now, and that's the Never Give Up song from OG Suicide out of Cali. So we're right back with the hot spoken word artist and author, Remedy.
That was nice. I really enjoyed that. That was nice. And you can tell it was real.
Oh, and no mystery. Yeah, everything we
bumped. He has a very awesome story himself.
Yeah, that was nice. I really enjoyed that.
Appreciate that. So, Remedy, what advice would you give these young men and women out here, I mean, that's going through a bad relationship or going through a domestic violence, you know, men and women? You know, what would you tell them?
For the young ladies, I would say, you know, at some point you have to decide who you love more, yourself or the situation that you're in. If you're in a situation that's harmful to you and you're allowing yourself to continue with this relationship, you have to decide, who do you love more, yourself or this relationship? And just be honest. You know, of course, you will want this to work. This is what you want. Of course, you love this person. You want everything between them to be peaches and cream, but the reality of it is, if you're hurting, it's not a good situation. If you're unhappy more than you are happy, it's not a good situation. So you might want to sit down and evaluate, is this something you need to continue with? Now, for young men, you know, I would say at some point you have to look at the life that you're leading. If you're always angry or upset about something, or you feel like a person is provoking you to do something, then again, you need to sit down and you need to evaluate the situation and decide, is this something that you should continue with? You know, if it's something that's making you angry and it seems like you're always arguing, take a step back. Clear your mind. Think about it. What is it that you're really trying to get across? Is this the best way for you to go about getting what you want to say and your feelings across to this person? And if it seems to always be a constant battle, then again, you have to sit down and think about, is this something that you want to continue with? Because somewhere down the lines, somebody going to get hurt, if not worse. So I would just say they need to kind of stop and think about who and what's more important.
Amen for that, you know. And I'll pass the mic over to the missus.
Okay. Well, Remedy, are you ready to give us a little bit of your spoken word?
Yeah, sure, I could do that. Well, one of the pieces that was real popular that I do, a lot of people tend to gravitate to it because it was real. And before I tell it, I usually tell, you know, before I do a piece, I usually tell how I came up with each piece. And for this particular one, real story, on a Thursday, I got into a car accident, slid on some black ice, totaled a woman's car with no insurance. And I just cried and cried and cried my heart out. I mean, I just cried and cried. And this was during the time where, you know, me and the ex, we were kind of going through it, and it was, well, it's your bill. No, it's your bill, you know. So it just kind of fell between the cracks. You know? So I didn't total this woman's car and had no car insurance. So on a Friday, it was time, income tax time, and my bank sent my refund back to the IRS on a clerical error that the bank made. And so I called the IRS, and they're like, well, hey, you're going to have to wait 30 days for us to issue you a check. And I got $2 in my purse. And here it is, I'm crying just the day before. I'm in this accident, and I'm just boo-hooing, and I'm like, this just cannot be life. It just cannot be life. So Saturday come, I'm like, well, you know what? I think I'll make me a nice dinner and just kind of sit down, calm my nerves and everything. And I made some nasty cornbread. And that just set me over the top. I ran around that apartment just screaming and hollering. And I know the neighbors like, what's wrong with her? It was like I just could not take any more. And out of that, this piece just, it just poured out of me. I don't even think I wrote most of it down, but it just poured out of me. Why do bad things happen to good people? I'm living in a nightmare, and every day is a sequel. They keep telling me, Rem, take it one day at a time. but it's piling and piling, and I'm losing my mind. For real, I don't know how much more I can take. I got debt, divorce, the job, the kids on my plate. I can't even remember when was the last time I ate. And it ain't just about me. Our livelihood's at stake. I keep praying, but it sounds like I'm begging. My little sis say you got to walk through hell to get to heaven. Well, I've been walking through it for years, so I must be lost. And I can buy a map, but my soul is what it costs. So I'm asking y'all, what do I do? I know it could be worse, but this tough for me to go through. I tried writing, but it sounded so sour. I went to counseling, but I couldn't fix my life in an hour. I tried talking to friends, but they ain't hearing me because I'm the remedy. They ain't taking me seriously. I thought about drowning my sorrows in gin, but that's just going to rehash a bunch of old sins. My will is tested, strength almost dismantled, and they say he ain't going to give me no more than I can handle. But my shoulders is heavy, and I'm near a breaking point. Hell, I don't even smoke, and I could use a joint. Something for me to clear my mind. I'm mentally suffering. For me, that's doing time. And again, I ask, what do I do? I know it could be worse, but this tough for me to go through. I walk past the mirror and didn't recognize myself, so I stopped and thought, what would I say to someone else? Because I'm good at passing out advice, but not taking it myself. Now I have to uplift me like I do everyone else. I said, you hold your head up and you stand up straight. You may bend, baby girl, but you will not break. He's brought you through worse, so hold on to that faith, because letting it go now would be a huge mistake. See, you've come too far for you to stop now, so put it in his hands and don't worry about how. And you count your blessings, because it could be worse. You could be dead and gone, leaving a lot of people hurt. So the next time you feel like you're losing your mind, you drop to your knees and you put in that time. Let him remind you of who you are. You're his child, the remedy. Hell, you're a superstar for constantly praying for everyone else. Next time, just slide in a few words for yourself, because your wars and battles, it's his minor task. And no matter what you go through, this too shall pass. And that's that piece.
Amen.
Well, that's awesome.
All right. That was right on point. So we know that the viewers will love that every time they log in and listen to the radio show.
I mean, and it was real. That cornbread just kind of did it.
Oh, whoa, wow. Yeah, man. Yeah. Went off the handle.
Yeah, you can't have nasty cornbread with a good meal. That just ain't going to work.
All righty then.
But it was real. It was real. That little 3 days took me through it.
Wow. Like they say, 99 and a half just won't do.
Exactly.
That's the whole folks saying.
Yeah, it was.
That is on your CD, A Dose of Remedy, right?
That one is on A Dose of Remedy. It was one of the final ones that I decided to add.
Okay. Now, you got music to your spoken word or what?
Some of it I do. There's a couple pieces on A Dose of Remedy where I have the lovely Miss Jackie singing for me on a couple pieces, and I think I wanted to do more, but, you know, I just had to kind of sit back and listen to how I speak
and
try to match myself up with, you know, something that where people can hear me. You know, that's the difference between spoken word and poetry, where spoken word, we kind of get expressive, you know, and we do a lot of movement, and we just kind of, you know, we put emphasis on certain words, whereas poetry, it just flows. You know, it just flows over music just so well. So, you know, sometimes I have to kind of really sit down and see if I can get some music to kind of flow with me. I'm hoping to do more pieces like that for Love, Life, and Remedy.
Okay, sounds like a winner then, you know. And
when do you expect that CD to come out?
I'm going to shoot for fall of this year. I hope it doesn't, I hope I'm not like I was with A Dose of Remedy. With A Dose of Remedy, I stayed in the studio so much, constantly, constantly recording. And then every time something new popped up, I was like, oh, I got to record that and add that. And then it was like, girl, just sit down, pick some, and put it on the CD and keep it moving. You know, just going through all that. So I think with this being my sophomore, it'll be a little bit more easier for me.
Okay, sounds like a winner then.
Good.
You know?
And tell us a little bit about the movie part that you had and what your plans are with your own independent movie.
Well, I had a very small part in an independent film that was shot in Cincinnati called The Black Dove, and I played a supervisor who hired and fired John Savage. And it was just, the experience of that was so phenomenal for me. And I think watching myself on the screen was, you know, it was always something I wanted to do. You know, acting was something I really wanted to get into. And then it was like once I got to watching myself at the screen, when they showed, you know, we had our premiere, I covered my eyes. You know, I kind of threw my hands over my eyes and, you know, I listened to my part. But at the end, for me, the best part about my little 15 minutes of fame was seeing my name scroll up the screen. I mean, I was just so in love with that. So,
well, so that'd be proud, young lady.
Yes, I was so, and once I sat there and I seen Remedy Murray going up that screen, I was like, wow. So
yeah,
I've
like
always
this
been, yeah, you know, and I've always been writing. So right now I'm getting a bachelor's through Full Sail University, which is a media and entertainment university, and I'm getting a bachelor's in creative writing. And so I started perfecting my movie scripts. You know, I guess I just needed an expensive validation for my writing. You know, it's like you're good, but when a professional say you're good is when you start feeling like, yeah, I got it. You know, so I think that was the whole purpose of me kind of just jumping back into school. But it's been great. So I started perfecting my scripts. And I had the chance to interview Lee Zellers. He's a producer and director in Cincinnati, and he's known for his work for Purple Haze, Sometimes She Bites, and the OTR series. And I interviewed him for a class project, and I got to talking to him about a couple scripts I wrote. And, you know, he was like, you know, those are really good, really good. So, you know, a couple months go by, and he contacts me like, you know what, Remedy? I think you really got something with that one with Moonwalkers. And I'm like, you think so? And he's like, yeah, and I'm just honored, you know, because this man has work under his belt. I'm just honored. Like, he really thinks something I did was great. So I'm like, okay, you know, let's talk about it and everything. I was like, hey, you know, if you think you can do something with it. So we had a nice meeting. We sat down, and what we decided to do is it's going to be an independent featured film that's going to go into production this year, and it's called Moonwalking. And it has an incredible story. I mean, the story, when I came up with the concept, you know, it was just, it was like something for class homework. You know, I didn't really expect to kind of put anything into it because it was a little outside the box for me. But then, you know, as he's reading the script and he's like, you know what, this can really be something, I'm like, hey, let's go for it. So he's been revising the script and working on it really hard, and it goes in production. I just had a talk with him a couple days ago, and he's just about done, and we'll be setting up production and casting call in a couple months.
Oh, that sounds like a winner then, you know?
Yeah.
So,
it's,
let the fans know where to get that book again, and if you got any last shout-outs which you would like to tell your viewers, go ahead and get that out.
You can purchase my ebook, How to Recognize the Signs of a Bad Relationship, at Amazon.com, iTunes, Sony e-reader, Diesel, Kobo, and Barnes & Noble. And it's a really great read. I would recommend it if you have young ladies, you know, early teens, late teens, even mid-20s, you know, that's just kind of going through some things in relationships. This would be a great read for them. I don't think you would be disappointed. You should really check it out. As far as shout-outs, like, I'd like to shout out my daughter, Ronisha, and my son, Savion, because they have been so supportive through everything Mommy has been through. So, I like, you know, they're my biggest fans, and, you know, they kind of like, all right, Mom, you got to make something happen. You got to do something, you know, so I really have to shout out my babies because they have been huge supporters, and I try to sit down and, you know, talk to them about every single move that I make, and so I have to shout them out. And, you know, France has just been by me and stood by me, and the ones who were always in my ear telling me never, ever give up, I have to send them so much love because I truly appreciate them being there for me. And I would just say, you know, earlier in the show I was talking about the people who are listening. If you have something in life that you want to do, go for it. It's not going to be easy. It's not. There are going to be times you are going to want to give up. There are going to be times you're going to be sitting down thinking, I can't do this. How can I get this done? How can I make this happen? Just don't give up on it. You know, just keep doing it, and the how-tos will come to you. Just don't give up on it because you never know who could learn from what you put out there. And it's so many different things. Your situation may be golden to somebody else. So just don't give up. Just go for it.
Amen. And I'll pass the mic over to the missus for any last announcements.
Just that we are collecting items for the homeless. Shelters, we're accepting clothes, socks, personal hygiene, things like that that they could use in the bathroom, in the shower. And, you know, that's just a constant thing that we're going to be doing, and you could find out more information about that on our website. We have the Arizona Golden Gloves coming up March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and that'll be at the Arizona Event Center in Mesa. And again, if you want Rob and I to come speak at your school, your church, your community, get with us. Let us know where you're at and where we can come and speak to the youth. You know, we're just constantly trying to get the message out there, you know, to the youth that the streets don't love you back, and trying to encourage them and uplift them to also do positive things and stay out of trouble and make the right choices. So check out our website. It's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, or you can just Google us, The Streets Don't Love You Back, and you'll find us all over the place. So, Boyd, your last words?
I just want to once again thank Ms. Remedy for coming on the show and getting her message out there. And I just want to thank my lovely wife and queen for always being there and been there from day one, and for her believing in me, and we believing in each other, and we steady making a difference out here in this world we call America, you know. So I just want to thank all our fans, and I want to just thank all my soldiers and the Streets Don't Love You Back members that's in 150 prisons across the country, men and women, who supports me and my wife movement, who receive our newsletter every month. And I like to give a shout out to my three brothers doing life in the penitentiary, my little brother Robbie, my little brother Christopher, and my little brother Marvell. I'd like to give y'all a big shout out, you know, and for holding it down. And that's about it, you know what I mean? And much love to everybody. You know, so many people that support us. You know, I can't be done to say everybody's name, but everybody who supports me and my wife. You know what I mean? Much love to everyone.
That's right. And I would like to thank you again, Remedy, as well. So you're very
thank
talented.
Thank you. Thanks.
You know, you're spreading out in all different directions, and that's awesome. You know, we're just, you know, happy to have you on the show, and we're going to look forward to following all the great things that you're going to be doing.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Hey,
you're very welcome. And, stay in touch now.
Okay, and we're going to go out tonight with a song by a brand new artist out of Detroit, Michigan, under Grand Slam Records, and this is Kendall Day, all for you. Have a great night, and meet us back here next Wednesday night, 8:30 Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern.
Everything is all for you. All for you. Everything I do when it's cold tonight. Everything is all for you.
heard from your girl you was hitting the club. So I'ma show some extra love, and I'ma get fresh as fuck for you tonight. And I'ma make sure everything's brand new. Everything touching my body is brand new. See the mirror, don't lie. Feeling like that guy tonight, so.
From the ballet, have them send the bottles of Moscato and that rosé. All out, it was okay, okay, okay.
So baby, what you gonna do for me? Cause
everything is all for you, all for you,
all for you,
all for you.
You.
Everything I do in the club tonight, everything is all for you.
Everything is
all for you.
VIP never felt so lovely. Drinks never looked so bubbly. Don't you just love me? From the club to the telly, what's up? Private suite, can't nobody interrupt. Perfect night for the both of us. And this is how we started out. I'm loving everything you do for me. That's why
everything is all for you.
All for you.
All for you.
Everything you do is
all for me.
Baby, it's all
for you.
Everything is all for you.
You know that it's all for you, baby.
Everything is all for you.
All for you.
You know that it's all for you, baby.
Everything is all for you.
All for you.
All for you.
Everything I do is everything is all for you.
Everything is all for you.